good to be here today. I'm thankful that God has allowed all of us to be here and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thankful that He's allowed us to be here in this place and to remember His Son, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice on our behalf. You know, it's God's great plan from the beginning that mankind would have a way to redeem himself. And that was through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And His sacrifice is what allows us to be able to pursue salvation, to be able to obey that gospel plan set forth 2,000 years ago. What a wonderful and mighty God we serve. What a wonderful and great Lord we have in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful Holy Spirit who gave us the word that we have today through the inspiration of the apostles and prophets of the New Testament. This morning we're going to take a passage from Jesus Christ's Sermon on the Mount. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Our reading this morning, we'll be reading from the New King James Version, very similar to the King James Version, just a little updated in words, where Christ said, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Jesus was speaking in a time when the law was still in effect, when Moses' law, the Old Testament law, was still in effect. But he was also speaking to men who would soon become members of his church. And so this morning, we want to take a look at this passage, some other passages that are also akin to it, and try to find out what Jesus meant when he said, "Do also to them." Before we go further, we have a wonderful opportunity to go to our God in a word of prayer. And so, won't you please humble yourselves in some manner while the brother selected leads us in that. Before the service began this morning, I was up here putting scriptures on the board. One of our young ladies came up to me and she asked me what we were going to talk about. And I told her it was going to be about the golden rule. You know, we've heard about that. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. This is something that's been, I imagine, taught down the ages ever since Christ's time. And it always amazes me when we have, you know, these lessons and we have our scriptures and we have things we want to say. We have something today called TLDR. Too long, did not read. And she sort of summed it up in that way. She said, "Oh, you mean be nice to people." And that's pretty much what we're going to talk about today, and that's what Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago. Have we ever found ourselves in a situation where we were faced with the need to make a decision on the spur of a moment? Where we found ourselves wondering, what's the right way to act? Maybe we found ourselves unable to recall whether the Bible specifically addressed whatever moral dilemma that we have before us. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus provided this helpful tool in such a situation when dealing with others. It's a quick and easy way to know what to do. Something that's very easy to remember. As I said before, something that's probably been taught and hopefully memorized through the ages. In Matthew 7 and 12, Jesus said, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." What's commonly called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as it's been paraphrased. We find this also in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31, When Jesus said in the same environment, he said, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." We might ask, was Jesus teaching something new at this time? Well, in a way, I believe it was. You know, many religious teachers previously had taught something that was similar. The Hindu religion taught, this is the sum of duty. Do not to others, which if done to thee, would cause thee pain. The Buddhist religion taught, what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. That's what the Buddhist religion taught. The Jewish traditions in the Talmud taught what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man. That is the entire law. Confucius, who was a Chinese philosopher, said what you do not want others to do to you, do not do to others. But we find that Jesus' rule was slightly different. His principle was a bit different than what these other taught. Jesus requires us to do something favorably to others, while the others only prohibit us from doing something unfavorably to others. So for others, they would say, don't do to other people what we don't want done to us. Jesus would say, do unto others what we want them to do to us. Note the difference. With other philosophers, they would say all that is required is that we don't harm other people. That's something that's taught today in great quantity. You know that? You can do whatever you want in this life as long as you don't harm other people. Wouldn't that be easy? All we have to do is just keep to ourselves. Don't talk to anybody else. As long as we don't interact with anybody else, we can't harm them. But we can do whatever we want to in our own life. Jesus had something a little bit different in mind. He said what is required is that we go out and we show kindness to others. We do to them. That's what a Christian must do. So what Jesus taught was something new compared to what many teachers had taught prior. But in another sense, it wasn't new. Rather, it was a simple and easy to remember statement that Jesus gives us as a guideline for righteous conduct towards others. He said that this is one in harmony with the law and the prophets. Kind of like saying, everything that you've been taught in the Old Testament law, it's summed up in this. Jesus taught a standard of righteousness that contrasted with that of the scribes and Pharisees of his time. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 20, Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Strong words. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't just leave it at that. Because we might say, well, how are we supposed to be more righteous than the scribes or the Pharisees of his time? But Jesus gives us the answers. This was in harmony with what the law actually revealed. It wasn't against it. This one rule or principle summarizes what the law and the prophets were all about, Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This tells us that everything that Jesus was going to teach was to fulfill what the Old Testament taught. Everything that he was going to teach and everything that he was going to do. This is very similar to the commandment that Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 13. Love your neighbor as yourself. In verses 8 through 10, Romans chapter 13, Paul wrote, "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Jesus gave the answer of who is our neighbor with the parable of the Good Samaritan, didn't he? Our neighbor isn't just the person who lives next door to us. Our neighbor isn't just the people here in this audience assembly, fellow Christians and friends, acquaintances. Our neighbors can even be those who maybe we don't, as a society, think highly of. But love is the fulfillment of the law. This golden rule, this golden principle is something that we can always have at the ready because it's so easy to understand. Be kind to other people. Treat them like you want to be treated. Do to them like you would have them do to you. It's as if it's in our back pocket or purse, ready to be used. You know, today we have Google search. For any kind of question we have, we can pop out our phones or our computers. Google search it. Google, what about this situation? What should I do? They'll give you an answer. Google, what if this person's being mean to me in this way or that way? What should I do? Well, they might come up with all sorts of philosophical or psychiatric ways to handle things. Jesus would say, you know what? Treat them like you want to be treated. Even if they're not treating you like you want to be treated. For example, even in an emergency, when there is no time to consult a friend or a teacher or a preacher or a book for advice or Google search, the golden rule can be our guide for proper conduct. Treat others as we would be treated, and it is unlikely we'll ever do much that's in the wrong. A few examples on how we can apply this rule. For those of us who are preachers and teachers and evangelists, even Christians, because this is our duty, teaching the lost. Teaching the lost about God. Teaching the lost about Christ and the Holy Spirit. Teaching the lost about what it needs to be done to obey the gospel plan of salvation. Or what needs to be done to come back to Christ. Imagine what it must be like to be told we are in wrong, or we are in sin, or that we may go to hell. Wouldn't we want to be told in a loving and a patient and a meek spirit. As we would have others try to persuade us to change spiritually, so treat those we seek to convert. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul wrote to our brother, who is an evangelist, a preacher. In verse 24 and 26, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." When someone needs to obey the gospel plan of salvation, yes, it's a serious thing. There's a soul at stake. There's a soul that the devil has. But let's remember what Jesus said. And when we're trying to teach people about the plan of salvation and what needs to be done, let's be patient. Let's be meek ourselves. Let's remember where we came from, where we started out, and how thankful we were that someone acted that way toward us when they were teaching us. Another example is in correcting another Christian. You know, that also is a duty of Christians. That when we see a brother or sister who, in some manner, is not, you know, following the commands of Christ, who needs to come back to him, we need to realize no one likes to have their mistakes and their errors pointed out. This is something that's just, that's the way we all are. We don't like to be told when we're in the wrong, even if we need it. So we need to keep this in mind. When necessary, wouldn't we prefer to be approached by the brother or sister with a meek and patient spirit? As we would have others offer us constructive criticism or offer us what needs to be done, maybe we need to confess and pray. That's what we need to be also. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul wrote about what God put in the church to help build it up. To help build it up. Verses 11 through 16. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we would no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So if there's a time when you need to come to me because I'm in the wrong, because I need to come back to Christ, because maybe there is some criticism, even as little as maybe something I need to do better in teaching, I would ask of you, please, come to me in a meek and gentle spirit. And it's incumbent upon me to do the same to you. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul wrote in verses 1 and 2, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." I can't but help that Paul had in mind what Jesus said in our scripture this morning. Final example is in how we treat our family, our neighbors, and our enemies. I would like to think that everyone likes to have a loving family, good neighbors, and no enemies. But you know, sometimes that just isn't the case. Applying the golden rule, the golden principle, will not only transform ourselves, but may also transform those around us. Don't limit the application of this rule to simply spiritual matters. If we applied this to everything in our life and our dealings with other people, sibling rivalries and quarrels would cease. Neighborly squabbles would be non-existent. Enemies may become friends. Such a simple rule, but sometimes so hard to put into practice. It goes against our human nature. Why do we have to do good to those who may be treating us poorly? We must understand that our obligation to this rule has no prerequisite from the other person. Jesus did not add, "Only if they do good unto you and love you first." What a sorry state we would be in today if Jesus thought that way. What a sorry state. Finally, I want to wrap up by reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Making a bit of commentary in between, real quick. Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Sometimes we think that way, don't we? "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also." Boy, if someone was to sue us today, wouldn't we want to retaliate? "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Wow. I'm kind of a chubby dude. Going 1 mile is a bit tough. Let alone two. "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Oh Lord, but these things are mine and I worked so hard for them." You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Our country fights enemies. Our country has enemies. And in a worldly sense, God has endowed our country with the ability and the right to fight its enemies. But as Christians, what are we to do with our enemies? O Lord, help us to love our enemies, because we were once yours. And we're thankful that you've allowed us to become your friend. This isn't something that we have to do and reach out at this time to the whole world and think, well, I just have to solve everything, you know. But this is something that we can do with our families, with our friends, with our acquaintances, with our schoolmates, with our co-workers, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the golden rule transform our own lives and those possibly closest to us. If Jesus is truly our Lord, then this rule, this principle, will govern our life in all things. We're thankful that Jesus made that great sacrifice for us so long ago. Let's do for him what he would have us, what we would have him do for us, which he did for us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul wrote, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is set apart for God's use, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We'll now give the invitation this morning. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, Paul wrote, but what does it say? He's talking about the righteousness of faith here as opposed to the Old Testament law. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith, that faith we just read about, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the word of God, that faith cannot happen. In Acts 2 and verse 38 and 40, one of the instances of people being saved, obeying the gospel plan, Luke wrote about Peter saying to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. It's us today. As many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So Peter was telling them how to be saved. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 39, then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, the scripture that the eunuch was reading about in Isaiah. He preached Jesus to him. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. This must have been water that Philip was talking about in reference to Jesus. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The simple plan of gospel plan of salvation. But sometimes we as Christians may make mistakes, be caught up in trespasses against God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And finally, in James chapter 5, verse 16, "Confess your trespasses to one another," he would exhort, "and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." We have before us the gospel plan of salvation and the ability as Christians to come back to the Lord if we have strayed away. If you find yourself in this situation this morning, either one of these, then we would ask you, accept this invitation at this time while we stand and while we sing.